Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Okay, just going to read a few scriptures first of all. But we're all aware of everything that's going on at the moment in different ways. And one of the things I just believe God wants to say to us is the importance of the hour. Now, we're aware of all of that, but this hour really is important. The importance of the hour and how we respond to it. As Kingdom Faith, but as individual believers as well. So just turn to James chapter 4 for a minute. And we're probably well aware of these things. We're going to read through just some different scriptures. But in the middle of it, again, just to take hold of what Jane was saying Sunday, that was a real word from God on Sunday. And she spent two or three days really just not being settled, really, you know, because she knew she had to release something or speak something. And I believe that was a word for the church, for the nation, that kind of word, you know, that that she brought on Sunday. But let's have a look at James chapter 4, verse 13 onwards. This is James. He says, "Now listen to you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Wow. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins." I think what's happened in the last few days is quite an eye-opener, isn't it? Because the whole world, we're all getting on with what we do every day and in front of us. And even in Japan, they're getting on with doing life, doing business. And even in some of the pictures you've seen, people are even driving along the roads, not even aware that this 30, 40-foot wave was a few hundred yards away from them. And it, for me, it's a bit of a kind of eye-opener when you read the word here. And generally, society says, today or tomorrow, we'll do this or that. We'll spend the time doing this. We'll carry on a thing. We'll make money there. But actually, here's this 30, 40-foot thing that comes in and, without any warning for many, just suddenly takes life. And in the midst of making money, in the midst of doing life, in the midst of let's do this, let's make our plans, suddenly out of nowhere, life is completely transformed. And we've all seen the east coast of that nation. I mean, it's just total devastation. And what was everyday life, people going to the shops, people going to school, people going to work, people just out having a walk, you know, whatever they're doing, suddenly there's a devastation. And it's like life. I mean, one interview I saw, this lady said, "I've got no house, I can't find my family, I've got no job, I've got no money, I've got absolutely nothing, I've got no food." And she said, suddenly, you know, she's standing there and she's got absolutely nothing. And suddenly you realise the fragility of life and what is going on. Let's just read on a bit further in chapter 5. "Now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you." There's nothing wrong with having money. Let's just state that at the beginning. "Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire." Well, "you have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you." Does that sound a little bit like some people rising up in nations, stirring, you know, because they're afraid, they're fed up with the oppression, they're fed up with the autocracy, they're fed up of people that are lording it over them. There's a cry that is coming. "The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter, and you have condemned and murdered innocent men who are not opposing you." Wow. Now, if those first few verses of that chapter are not a description of some regimes and some things that are going on in certain nations at the moment, it's just even in here in a few verses, the end of chapter 4, beginning of chapter 5, he's summing up how we're all going about doing our thing in the nations, and we are making plans, making money, we're doing this, that and the other, the global financial situations, even now. these guys, what's going on with some of the bonuses and all of this. I know some of it is in stocks and shares, but even that is so fragile. You see what's happening with the Japan situation, the value of the nation going down. It's rocking the world's stocks in all sorts of different ways. And you realise we are just standing on thin ice globally. So even though we're in this nation, it can seem a long way away. We can still carry on in this nation with this kind of attitude of, let's do this today and tomorrow let's do that. And let's spend some money here. Let's do some business here. Let's just carry on, because actually we don't have natural disasters here. Do you know what I mean? That can be the thinking. We don't have earthquakes. We don't have tornadoes. We don't have a lot of the natural disasters here. We don't live on a fault line, you know. But yet there's something else called greed that's completely undermined our society. And in that aspect, we're living on a sheet of thin ice in terms of the stability of our nation and what's going on. You would say law and order is on a very, very kind of thin ice at this moment. You can see it spilling over. The power of the people in other nations is rising up to overthrow those in leadership or those in government in some in other nations. Who's to say that could not happen in this nation? There's something going on. And PJD, last week in the Discipleship Academy, said something I thought was really, really excellent. We said a lot of excellent stuff, but there was one particular thing I thought, yeah, that's, you know, in the Bible it talks about all creation is crying out for the sons of men, you know, the sons of God to arise, or all creation is groaning with an expectation of the return of Jesus. And sometimes we kind of think, well, the earth is doing that because of the last few days and New Zealand, the earthquake a few weeks back and other natural disasters. But actually, one of the things JD said, it's interesting, you hear it in the sound of people moaning, complaining, people fed up of this, that and the other, people in pain, people, you know, all kinds of things that happen. It's like the cry that comes from their heart is part of that, the cry of creation, saying there must be something more, there must be something else, there must be something beyond my pain. There must be something beyond the agony that I'm in. There must be something beyond the what's happening on the inside, that I don't have peace. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what life's about. And that cry that comes from the hearts of people, of men and women. And I sat there and I thought, that's it. We it's obvious the earth is crying out. But in our nation, we can be very, well, you know, everything from a natural point of view, it looks all right. But yet, there's a cry in millions of people in our own nation and across Europe. They're crying out, well, what is life about? Where is what is the true meaning of life? And you and me, we know so many people put their faith in certain types of thing, and everything is being shaken at this moment. But what a description in chapter 5 there of certain regimes and certain oppression that is going on in nations, where people are hoarding things, got a lot of money tucked away somewhere in different nations, but yet the people are being treated in a pretty harsh way, and then even people being killed or murdered because they've opposed the person who's at the top, and there's shakings going on at this time. Just have a look at Matthew 24 for a minute. Again, really well-known verse. I just want to read a couple of things in here. Matthew 24, verse 14. Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pains. Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter. That's not going into air. That's talking about how you respond to it all. For then there'll be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. Well, if we think what's going on now is pretty rough, and these are the beginnings of birth pains, man, I don't know what it's going to be like. Anyway, at that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. Well, see, I have told you ahead of time. And then it kind of goes on, giving more warnings in terms of what Jesus is saying here. And it's amazing, all these chapters. It's talking about being ready, and it's talking about the parable of the 10 virgins, and in terms of having your wick trimmed and being ready. It's really talking about living daily for the return of Christ. Yes. That we live every moment like he could return now, keeping short accounts with God, you know, making sure that we understand the signs of the times and what's God. What 1 Chronicles 12 talks about the sons of Issachar, didn't it? Understanding the signs of the times. Jane was speaking about that on Sunday, that we're tuned in, we understand what God is doing, but we're quick to respond to what he's saying. And on one level, we pray globally, but we've got to work locally. You know, we pray globally, but we've got to work locally. What's the Great Commission? Go and make disciples of all nations. And so our daily, what is our daily life? It's to go and make disciples. That's our daily response to the Great Commission, you know. And part of that is we then pray globally for God's purposes and pray for the church globally, that wherever the church is globally, they are working out God's purposes in their situation. We're praying for the nation of Israel, for God's purpose to be worked out for that nation. We're working with people there, in relationship with those there, praying for those there to see God's purposes outworked in that nation also. Let's just turn and look at James. We've just read James 5. Just something else in relation to James 5 for a minute. You know, Jane mentioned it on Sunday, but nations conspiring against nations, and there are plans at this moment. The word talks about Jerusalem being surrounded, and the nations surround Jerusalem, and then what they're going to do to Jerusalem. And those plans, nations are surrounding Jerusalem now with their plans and what they want to do. It might not be surrounded with tanks and armies at this moment, but it's certainly being surrounded politically with conversations, meetings, agendas, and everything that is going on. And I don't know about you, but there's certain things that as Christians, I don't think we realise sometimes how much we understand is because our eyes have been open to spiritual things. I think there's some things we just think, well, that's common sense, isn't it? Can't you see that? And I think some of that is because our eyes have been opened and by the word of God, and there's certain things we understand and that and now have become common sense for us because the word has shown us something. So it's a way of thinking that we have that's in line with the truth because it's revelation, it's understanding from the word. So we have a certain way of thinking that is normal in our own understanding, is common sense in our own understanding. But yet if you don't know Jesus, if your eyes are not spiritually open, then you don't see it in the same way. There's scales over your eyes. And so we look at the word and we look at what's going on in the nations. We look at what's going on in Israel and even Jerusalem. We hear the conversations going on in governments and across, you know, international organizations about the plans they have and what they want to do in terms of dividing up Jerusalem and a two solution a two-state solution and all the different things that are being worked towards now, but with no understanding whatsoever of God's purposes, of where God is in all of that, even if there is a God, and all of these different things. But yet for us, it's like, can't they see it? Even in a natural sense, imagine taking London and saying, let's split it up and give one quarter of it to a particular people group and say, that could be your capital city and you can run that whole area. Everybody would go, well, that's nuts. How's that going to work in London? That's stupid. Even in a natural level, how can you divide a city up, say London, and say, well, you guys run that and everybody else will kind of stay clear of that and that could be your bit and your... I mean, we all go, well, that's crazy. But yet, in the minds of men, when God's purposes get involved, the minds of men seem to shut down and say, we're gonna do business, we're gonna make decisions, we're gonna go this way, we're gonna go that way, we're gonna do this, because we're in charge, we don't need God. It's like we are now in this time, in a time of the Tower of Babel, revisited now in 2011, where we say we've got the technology, we've got the know-how, we've got the ability, we've got the wherewithal, we can make anything, we can do anything, we can become what we want to become. As nations, we can solve everything, but yet at the same time, everything's crumbling, everything's falling apart, and we're in a desperate situation on one level in the nations. At the same time, we know that God's salvation purposes over all of that are being worked out, and that we can pray and live with confidence knowing, okay, God, in the midst of all the trouble, in the midst of all the practical, natural mess that's going on, ultimately spiritual mess in that sense that's going on, there is a way that you are making for your kingdom to advance forward, to prepare the way for the return of Jesus, to basically, come on, hurry up, sort it all out. I don't think I've ever had more of a desire in me for Jesus to come back than I ever have before. Sometimes, I know Jane, for years, you know, she's, actually since she's been saved, I think, since I've known her, she's always had this thing about, oh, Jesus, hurry up and just come back. Then we can just, you know, oh, wouldn't it be brilliant if Jesus just came back? And there's always been something in it, not just a I'm fed up with life thing, but just wouldn't it be, wouldn't, just come on, Jesus, you know, come back. And I think that's a scriptural thing, to have a cry in your heart, Jesus, come on, come back today, return, come back today and wind it all up. But at the same time, you know that there's a lot of work still to do. There's nations to reach, people to reach, lives to see transformed, and all of that. So you're living with the today of, come on, there's the great commission to live and fulfill. But at the same time, there's this longing for Jesus to come back. And God, come on, look at the state of everything. You're the only one who can actually sort it all out. Come back. And I think if you live with that sense of Jesus, come back now, you live much more with the now of what do I need to do today then, that's going to live out and walk out the purposes of God in our lives. Okay, let's have a look at Philippians 1 for a minute. Jane used this scripture on Sunday. Philippians 1:27. Whatever happens, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. Wow, what a thing to say. Let's read that again. Whatever happens, so whether there's financial meltdown, whether there is natural disaster meltdown, whether there is nuclear potential meltdown or whatever's going on, you know, whether there are nations conspiring against nations, whether there are people rising up to overthrow leaders, and whether that's good or bad, we're not here to make those judgments in this sense. It says, whatever happens, whatever's going on all around you, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending, this is awesome, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. Now, Jane brought something out the other day, which was the importance of the time or the importance of the hour is so much greater than niggles we can have with each other. And how the enemy would want us to focus on people, you know, in terms of, oh, this or there's that or there's, oh, you know, and actually God said, no, 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 no. The importance of the hour is so much more important than just whether you're a bit cheesed with this or a bit hassled with that, whether you don't like this or you don't like that or whatever it's in the church that we're in or anybody might be in, or there's, you've got a niggle with somebody else. It's like, come on. I mean, Jane kind of used that phrase, get over it, didn't she? In terms of what God had said to her, how to deal with stuff. Just get over it. Just get on with it. Grow up. You know, there's things that are so much more important to live for than just a niggle about this, that or the other. And to live in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but you will be saved, and that by God. For it's been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. How many of you, somebody said the other day, I can't remember where it was, but somebody said that true heroes are only made when there's either oppression or opposition, or there's something that's got to be overcome. The true heroes actually surface when there's adversity. You know, and I thought, that's great, that's cool, I like that. You know, because when everything's going well, lots of people can do well, but actually, that, I don't know if hero's the right word, but, you know, true heroes, people that rise, people that have got something in them, it rises when there's opposition, when there's adversity. That's basically what the word's doing here. You know, on one level today, sitting in this room, we don't particularly feel adversity as a people. On one level, we're not that affected by certain things in other parts of the world. We see it on the news, and we're praying into it, but our daily physical challenge may, you know, but yet spiritually, our nation's going down the toilet, but we might not feel that in some ways. We know it's going on, but yet there's a spiritual reality to that that's going on, and we want to see that turn round. We might feel a little bit of the squeeze financially, price of fuel going up, price of food going up, and there's a little bit of a squeeze, you know, but on one level we can say, well, we'll just tighten our belts a little bit, maybe not buy these things we normally do, maybe not drive the car as much, and there's ways that we can handle some of the natural stuff, but yet spiritually the enemy is wanting to choke every nation, wants to choke our nation, and he'll do that in any way. In some nations there's uprising, in other nations there's financial clag going on, in other nations there's natural disasters, but whatever's going on, there's a choking of the people, and it's in that time of pressure that the sons of God arise. It's in that time of squeeze and oppression that the true body of Christ, if you like, begins to rise. And that's why in Philippians here, Paul says to these guys, look, you've got to be one in spirit. You've got to rise and contend as one man in the faith for the gospel, because it's only the gospel that's actually going to save people, deliver people, and transform people. It's only the gospel at the end of the day that can come and bring any kind of hope and sense of purpose out of it all. Let's have a quick look at Romans 18. I said I wasn't going to bring a message this morning, but there you go. Romans 8:18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worthy compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation, isn't it? The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. That's you and me. That's us lot, along with other believers. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. What does that mean? It means us lot rising up as the sons of God, as the people of God, bringing hope into situations of despair. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. That's talking about the return of Jesus. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And this is where, in the midst of all this stuff, we do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Well, there's a groan in creation, whether it is literally creation or whether it's the people. There's a groan that's beyond words. There's a cry that is beyond words that goes up to God as a God. They don't know it's to God, but it's a cry that says, "Help me." But yet the groan we have is not a groan of, "Well, help me." It's a groan of the Spirit of God that is interceding and expressing the heart of God through us for the nations, for the people of God, for the salvation of God on earth. That's the groan that we have inwardly on the inside of us. It's a groan of intercession. It's a groan of standing in the gap. It's a groan that is there because we are people inhabited with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God prays with groans that words cannot express. There's an intercession that goes on between heaven and earth through us as believers that pray in the purposes of God, that pray in the power of the gospel of God on earth so that God's kingdom advances, so that we go beyond, what's going on in the natural, and we see the spiritual being released to see nations impacted, not just in natural disasters, in the greed of men economically and in the purposes of men to affect nations and have their own agendas, but we begin to see spiritually the kingdom of God being released, where we see moves of God around the world and in nations where that's as much reported as the natural side, as well as the natural and all the other stuff on the increase. Also, there's a spiritual increase because the people of God have got this groan from the heart of God, which is interceding for the purposes of God to be revealed. As much as we see all the news reports there, we hear of all the news reports of what God is doing, which in our day. Because this time is not all about bad news. We need to understand there's all this stuff going on. What does that mean? It's just closer to the time when Jesus returns. What does it do for us? It fuels an even greater desire in us to say, "Come on, Jesus. Now's the time for the church to rise up in these days. Now's the time for the kingdom of God to advance in these days. Now's the time for the believers to stand together as one man to contend for the faith of the gospel. Now's the time to jut out, to stand up, not to be afraid of being cut down, spoken down, shut down. But it's a time to rise as believers to say, no, there's a gospel of the kingdom that's got to come out in words and in deed. We're not going to shrink back as people have done before, but we need to jut out, even if people don't like it, even if people are upset by it. There's something we've got to contend for that cuts something open in a fresh way for our nation, that breaks through fear, that breaks through the oppression, that breaks through the depression, that breaks through all the stuff that society's looking at and say, where's the hope? Where are we going? What's it all about? Yet there's a people of hope that rise because we've got a groan from the heart of God, where the Spirit of God is praying through us. Something is bubbling, stirring. We're living with something on the inside of us. And this is why it then says the next verse. And now we know in all things, verse 28, God works for the good of those who love him and are called to according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of, I've lost my place now, reading it to myself. Those he called, he has also justified, he's justified, he's also glorified. Where's the conqueror's bit? Verse 37, now in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So in the midst of all this stuff, it doesn't just mean we dismiss it all and therefore we got a conquering attitude. What it means is we can rise above all this stuff and still contend for the gospel to work in the midst of what seems to be disaster. Whether natural, whether through man's greed and man's own decision, or whether that is through people rising up, overtaking nations with whatever belief systems they want to put in place. We know that there's something that can overcome. This is what we've got to live for. I'm convinced, verse 38, that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, Neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now's the time more than ever that we really devote ourselves to the Lord, really give ourselves to the Lord. And in Isaiah 45, it talks about Cyrus. And, well, let's just quickly look at that and we'll finish and we'll pray. Isaiah 45, at the beginning of the chapter there, it says, this is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of, to subdue nations before him and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of irons. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. And it goes on and on and on. Then it talks about in verse 14, remember we've used this quite a bit, that it links with the verses in Job where it talks about many will court our favor. Then it talks about in verse 14, the products of Egypt, merchandise of Cush, and those tall Sabaeans. They come over to you, they will be yours. They trudge behind you, coming over to you in chains. They bow down before you. They plead with you, saying, surely God, capital G, is with you. And there is no other God. There is no other God, small g. You know, you truly, you know, you serve the living God, the big G.
Amen.
You know, the capital G. You guys know the real one, you know. And it talks about Cyrus in this chapter, which is interesting because... you know, Jane mentioned this as well, that in relation to Israel, God's given us a mandate as a nation for the nation of Israel, to stand with Israel, to bless Israel. And we've got to pick that mandate up in a fresh way, certainly on a governmental level. The church certainly does in this nation. The church needs a revelation of God's purposes for Israel that it's not done with, but God's still fulfilling it. And how we need to lock in with that and line up with that. But it's interesting how Cyrus is in the same chapter here. It was all connected with Egypt, which is bondage, coming out of sin, merchandise of Cush, which is all your different lifestyles and everything. And then Sabaeans, which is to change your belief system. There's things at work that want to change our nation's belief systems into something else. There's other governmental, spiritual, governmental things that want to change our belief system and ethos in our nation. And we're not going to allow that to overtake. We're not going to allow those things to have their way in our nation. And it's interesting how, you know, if Cyrus is to do with about having a mandate as a nation, then we need to pick that up. And we certainly are as Kingdom Faith wanting to do that and in the process of doing that. But as the church in this nation, we need to do that. But being devoted is connected with many caught in our favour. Being devoted to God is connected with the Egyptians or people in bondage and sin coming over, the people with different lifestyles and philosophies coming over, the people who have got different belief systems coming over, the whole lot. And it's connected, being devoted with God, with a revelation of who God is, big G. Yes. So that everybody else sees that actually the God of the Bible is the only true living God. There is actually no other God. It's not that there are several gods and ours is the real one. There is only one. There's only one God in the universe. There is no other God. That's what the Bible says here. There is no other God. There's only one. That's it. People make gods of things. But there is no other God. That's it. There's one big G, G-O-D, and that's the God that we serve and we know. That is it. And that's what these guys, that's what the Bible says people realize, because what it says here, surely God is with you and there is no other. So that's the people in Egypt, people who are captivated in sin, in all kinds of addictions, in all kinds of different lifestyles. They say there's no other God. The people in different philosophies and different lives, they say there is no other God. People of other religions, particularly one that is connected with Sabaeans here, they say there is no other God. Now, that's got to be revelation. And God is the nations are being shaken at this time. And I believe part of that is that we need to be praying that in these nations there's a revelation that big G is the only God. And we've heard of thousands, different reports, thousands of people getting saved across the Arab world in these days at this time. And God is revealing who he is and revealing who he is. I am the only big G. I'm the only real God. All the other guys you talk about, they're not real. They're man-made idols and images. That they're not real. They have no power.
Come on.
There's only one God. The God of the Bible. He's the God of the universe. He's not shaken by world events. He's the one that's formed the universe. Anyway, let's stand together, shall we, and pray. I've had my rant for 45 minutes. It was going to be a 15-minute chat this morning, but thank you, Jesus. We're living for something beyond the moment. Amen. We've got a cause in us that's beyond just what we see. We're not shaken by world events, by natural disasters, by the financial situation, by nations rising up against nations, by peoples rising up to overthrow governments or leaders. Some of that is obviously good on one level, but we're not. We're here for God's kingdom purposes to be outworked, and God's. It's all in there somewhere with all of this lot. The nation's being shaken. Father, we thank you that our lives are on solid rock. That you are the cornerstone. That you are the truth. You are the way and you're the life. That you cannot be moved. You're unshakable. You are immovable. Thank you that you are the rock of our salvation. Father, we thank you that we can stand rooted and established in you. That we don't have to fear. We don't make decisions out of fear. We don't react because of circumstances. But we thank you, Father, we can respond to your word by the leading of your Holy Spirit in these days. Father, we thank you that the gospel really is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. We thank you, Father, that your gospel is the answer to the nations at this time. And so, Father, we just pray right now that as we as a people here go with your gospel, whether it's to our neighbor or work colleague or friend, whoever it is, that the gospel will be powerful in our hands and in our mouths and in our lives to see their lives transformed. But Father, the gospel will be powerful in the body of Christ around this nation, that the body of Christ will stand all over this nation saying the gospel really is the power of God for salvation with word and deed being demonstrated with power. Father, I thank you. I praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just ask you that you would enable us to live with like a real bit in our mouths today, contending for your gospel, that we wouldn't go about just doing a bit of work or a bit of this or a bit of the other, waiting for it to chill out time tonight or what's going to happen tomorrow at the weekend. But we would live with such a now sense that today is the day, now is that time. We're living in that day where you are working, you're moving in the nations, things are taking place. And that we'll be quick to respond to you, quick to reach into people's lives, quick to see you move in situations. Father, I thank you for just an understanding of the importance of the hour that we're living in right now, that it affects us right now. We're in the middle of it right now, that we'll contend for our nation today, for the continent of Europe today. Father, I thank you that if we pray for the government, that they will no longer appease men. They will no longer appease people because they want to keep the peace. Because we know appeasement always leads to people falling out. It always leads to division and it always leads ultimately to war and devastation. Father, we pray for our national leaders that they would have some guts. That there be conviction that takes place in their life today. That fear would not dictate decisions. That there be a deep conviction in them of the decisions that they know they need to make that are in line with what you're saying and what you're doing and what your will is, Father. And when we make decisions in line with convictions that you give, then you take care of the consequences.
Amen.
So, Father, we thank you that you place men and women of God strategically today specifically in meetings that are going on about Israel, meetings that are going on about these international crises, to do with the financial situation, to do with nations rising up, to do with political overthrows, to do with natural disasters. Father, place men and women who know you into all these different settings to bring your word, to bring your wisdom, to bring your understanding, that now is the time for people to be in those places, to be those places to people of influence. Today, position those people, even if they're not supposed to be in a meeting, change something and orchestrate them to be there so they can bring your word into those situations, Father. Father, we pray for church leaders all over the nation at this time, that they would be convicted on the inside of them. I must stand for the word of God. I must contend for the things of God today. I must lead my people in the truth and in the things of God today. There'll be a growing conviction in spiritual leaders, in Christian leaders all over this nation today, to live the word more than their denominational angle, to live the word more than their preference, to live the word more than their experience, that you would take hold of every person that is open in any way. You'd grab their heart, grab their spirit, grab their life. Take them to things in your word that shine your light, to give them understanding of the signs of the times and the days that we're in. Quicken revelation in church leaders all over this nation today, that we wouldn't try and live for cool and trendy church, but we would live for the effectiveness of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Take hold of leaders that are going to pioneer breakthrough, that are going to not take no for an answer, but are going to contend as one man, as one people of faith, for your purposes, for the gospel on the earth, in this nation and right across Europe, into the Middle East and beyond. Father, we praise your awesome name. We thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Father. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, if we understand the importance of the hour, if people understand that, then it keeps them away from stuff that can sidetrack them. Keeps them away from even living a life, you know, of sin in different ways. It's like this, it's too important to get mixed up with this. It's too important to get involved in the other. So, Father, we just pray for our own church here, for a quickening in these days. The importance of the hour, that none of us would go about saying, well, let's do business today and let's plan this for tomorrow, and just with a natural kind of mindset and perspective. But help us to live with an eternal one, understanding the eternal things in today and what's going on, but yet we're living for your eternal purposes. Yes. Father, we pray for those that are in business that they would prosper today, absolutely, but because they're connected with your kingdom purposes, they're not just thinking of the natural. They're called there, they're chosen, they're anointed there in that situation to prosper, to thrive. So, Father, we thank you. Father, help us to understand the eternal in today and how we live that out. I praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Yes, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for the wisdom in our own personal lives, but also corporately. As a leadership, thank you for your wisdom, how to move forward and advance together, how to lead the whole body in that. That we can earth that and we understand that in our daily lives, but also we understand the bigness of what is going on and we live with that as well. Thank you that you help us to carry all of that and run with all of that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.